مولاي صل وسلم دائما أبدا مولاي صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم.
الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد الأنبياء والمرسلين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله. My Islamic brothers and viewers of Madani channel, I welcome you back to our program in which I shall be discussing the life of the Prophet of mankind sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam. It has been stated that the beloved Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam said that the one to be the closest to me on the day of judgment shall be he who recites the most durood upon me in this world. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam. Now, subhanallah, previously we have spoken from the beginning of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's life that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's father had passed away when the Prophet was yet in the stomach of his mother. That the beloved mother of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Hazrat Amina radhiallahu anha, passed away when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was at the age of 6. At the age of 8, he lost his grandfather, Hazrat Abdul Muttalib radhiallahu ta'ala anhu. At the age of approximately 25, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had married his first and most beloved wife, Hazrat Khadija al-Kubra, radhiyallahu ta'ala anha. Similarly, at the age of 40, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam received the first revelation for the next 3 years, up until approximately the age of 43, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam secretly and privately invited the Quraysh towards Islam. And then the next 2 years, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, after suffering much hardship, after calling everybody openly, then sent the people, some of the companions, approximately 15 people, to Habasha, known as Ethiopia today. In them days it was known as Abyssinia. Now, we mentioned the names of the 15 individuals. There's a difference of opinion as to how many is between 15, 16 or 17 individuals approximately that had migrated to Abyssinia and then they had returned. We mentioned about Hazrat Uthman ibn Maz'un radhiyallahu ta'ala anhu, and similarly Hazrat Uthman ibn Affan, who we said was the third Khalifa of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and also the son-in-law of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He had married Bibi Raqiyya radhiyallahu ta'ala anha. He had also returned after they heard the false rumor that the Meccans had become Muslims. Another individual was Hazrat Mus'ab ibn Umair radhiyallahu ta'ala anhu. He also returned, and these individuals, after having returned from Habasha, from Ethiopia, they did not yet leave again for the second migration when the rest had gone also. Now, it has been said that when the Muslims did initially return, approximately during the month of Ramadan, so they had stayed there for 2 months, approximately 2 months in Habasha. And then they had come back to Makkah al-Mukarramah when they heard of the false rumors of the Quraysh becoming Muslim. And when they did come and they came to acknowledge that in fact the Quraysh had not become Muslim, and yet they continued to torture the Muslims, it is said that they told the Muslims in Makkah al-Mukarramah about the stay in Habasha in Ethiopia, how they lived in peace, and how the king there, Najashi, also his real name was Asmuha. And Asmuha, it has been stated that he was a very just king. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had called him Malik, a king who was Adilun. He was a just king. Now the Muslims, they had told the rest of the Muslims, those Muslims who had come from Ethiopia, they informed the rest of the Muslims in Makkah al-Mukarramah that there is peace there. You know, we are able to practice our religion easily. So it is said that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had again sent the Muslims to go to Ethiopia, and this time approximately 83 companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had left for the second migration to Ethiopia. Now, when this amount of Muslims had left for Ethiopia, it has been stated that the Prophet ﷺ, when he had sent these Muslims to Ethiopia, and the Quraysh, they came to find out about this. Now, 83 Muslims is a large amount. So when the Quraysh had come to discover that approximately 80 people from the Quraysh, from Makkah al-Mukarramah, have left our city, have left the Quraysh, left each clan, and they've gone to a city abroad, a country abroad, and they are living there in peace, then there was two problems for them. One, that the Muslims were living in peace. The second, that this is a means of embarrassment, of humiliation for the Quraysh. The Quraysh, they possess that pride, that self-pride, that we are the Quraysh, we are the greatest tribe amongst the Arabs. So if our own people are to leave, then this is a cause of humiliation to us. So it is said that they sent two individuals. One by the name of Amr ibn al-As. Hazrat Amr ibn al-As radiallahu anhu, he later comes to accept Islam, but at this time he was not a Muslim. And another individual they sent was by the name of Umar ibn al-Walid. These two individuals were sent by the Quraysh, Amr ibn al-As and Umar ibn al-Walid ibn al-Mughira. They traveled to Abyssinia, and this was an approximate 2 to 3 week journey, and they had to travel by ship. And when they arrived in Ethiopia, after the Muslims had arrived in Ethiopia, the Muslims were living in peace, subhanAllah. It has been stated that they approached all of the patriarchs, all of the representatives of the king, and they laden them with gifts. They had presented many gifts to those patriarchs, to those leaders of the specific states of Ethiopia. They spoke bad about the Muslims, and they said, tomorrow we shall approach the king Najashi, and we expect you, and we are hoping that you will take our side and send these Muslims back to Makkah al-Mukarramah. So they had bribed them in giving the side of the Quraysh. And it is said that when these two individuals, Amr ibn al-As ibn al-Wa'il, and similarly Umar ibn Walid ibn al-Mughira, that when they did approach the king Najashi, possibly a day or two after, that they came to his court, and upon entering his court, they had first prostrated to him. Now they would prostrate to idols, so there wasn't such a great thing for them to prostrate to a man. So they had prostrated to the king as was the norm of the people and what they considered to be respect at that time. And then they presented their case to the king. They said that, O Najashi, some rebels, some renegades have left the Arabs and they have come to live in your land. And they are those people who are against your religion. Now you must understand that Najashi was from the religion of Hazrat Isa alayhi salam. So he said, they are rejectors of your religion and of the religion of their own forefathers, the religion of their own people, and they have left their own parents, they have rejected their own parents, they have dishonored and humiliated their own tribes, and now they are coming to live in your land. Now, O Najashi, please, for the sake and for the respect and the mutual understanding we possess between us, please return them from your land and send them to Makkah al-Mukarramah. And then Najashi says, he stands and he says, that these individuals who you are talking about, let's hear their side of the story. And this time, Hazrat Ja'far ibn Abi Talib, radiallahu ta'ala anhu, the cousin of the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, the brother of Hazrat Ali al-Murtada radiallahu ta'ala anhu, the son of Abu Talib, that he was the leader of this qafila, of this group, you can say, which had come to Ethiopia. So the Muslims, they were anxious, they were worried that what we're going to say to Najashi. And then it has been said that the Muslims had entered the court, they had come to the court of Najashi. And then upon entering, they did not bow down or prostrate before Najashi. Now, when Najashi and the rest of the people had seen this, they immediately began to complain. So, subhanAllah, one thing, the Muslims are going to make things easier for themselves. On the other hand, the Muslims, they do not prostrate before Najashi, showing it doesn't matter what the harm is. But these Islamic brothers and views of Madinah, inshallah, it don't matter what their harm is. Although they were coming before a king, and to not bow down to a king normally means death sentence. Yes, this is what happens. Yet they did not fear anybody but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then it is said that the leader from amongst them, he says, the O Najashi, you know, he explains his matter. And then he says some words. And it is stated that Hazrat Ja'far ibn Abi Talib radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he begins to speak and he says that, Ayyuhal Malik, the O King, Kunna qawman ahla jahiliyyah. We were people of ignorance. We were ignorant people. Na'budu al-asnam. We used to worship idols. Wa na'kulu al-mayta. We used to eat the dead, meaning that thing which would just die on its own. And then we would go and eat those things. Wa na'ti al-fawahish. We would do very immoral actions. Wa naqta'u al-arham. We would break relations. Wa nasi'u al-jiwar. We would forget about our neighbors. Wa ya'kulu al-qawiyyu minna al-da'if. And the strong from amongst us, he would overpower the weak and harm the weak. Kunna ala dhalika. And we used to perform these sort of actions. Hatta ba'athallahu ilayna rasulan minna. Up until Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends to us a prophet who was from amongst our own people. Na'arifu nasabahu. We know his nasab, his lineage. Wa sidqahu. And that he is the truthful one. He always spoke the truth. And also he was truthful, but not only truthful, but he was trustworthy. He is an honorable person. فَدَعَانَا إِلَى اللَّهِ. So he calls us, he invites us towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. لِنُوَحِّدَهُ وَنَعْبُدَهُ وَنَخْلَعَ مَا كُنَّا نَعْبُدُ نَحْنُ وَأَبَاؤُنَا مِن دُونِهِ مِنَ الْحِجَارَ وَالْأَوْثَانِ. And that we leave, or we only believe him to be the only one God, and not these other idols which we had been worshipping, these stones and these rocks which we had used to be worshipping. And then he says that the Prophet ﷺ, he has ordered us to speak the truth. Wa ada'il amana. And that if we were to be trusted with anything, then we should fulfill that trust. Wa silati rahim. And also to make ties. And also to make love in between individuals, to bring unity, wa husn al jawar, and to respect our neighbors, wal kaffi anil maharimi wad dima, and not to spill blood, wa nahana anil fawahishi, and he had prohibited us from these immoral acts which we had performed, wa qawli zur, and from speaking bad, and by eating the wealth of the orphans. And Najashi, he was amazed by what he had to hear. He wished to hear more. So he says, what is it that the Prophet ﷺ teaches you? He asked, did he bring a revelation? And they replied that yes, he was granted a revelation from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then he says, okay, recite to me some of this revelation. And then Hazrat Ja'far ibn Abi Talib, radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he begins to recite the Holy Quran. And what does he recite from the Holy Quran? He recites Surah Maryam. And he recites this, and no doubt this is glorifying Hazrat Maryam radhiyallahu anha and Hazrat Isa alayhi salam. And it is said that Najashi, he was surprised and he loved these words upon listening to the Quran. And no doubt Hazrat Ja'far ibn Abi Talib radhiyallahu anhu would be reciting it in his own beautiful manner, with his own melodious voice and his own tone. SubhanAllah, imagine just listening to that. And then Najashi radhiallahu anhu, he himself was taken aback by this. And he says that, O Muslims, you have the full honor and the full right to live amongst us, and nobody shall harm you. And it is said that even the patriarchs, they themselves had, upon previously being on the side of Amr ibn al-As ibn al-Wa'il, on the side of Umara ibn al-Walid ibn Mughira, on the side of the Quraysh, now they also agreed with Najashi, and they were also on the side of the Muslims. And then the Muslims, they had left the court now with a certification by Najashi himself. Now they had been granted official permission, a permit to live in the land peacefully, and nobody could harm them. And Najashi, subhanAllah, he was a Muslim. He allowed the Muslims within Ethiopia, within Abyssinia, to live in peace. And it is said that when Najashi did make this statement in front of the patriarchs also, that some people had heard the statement and they began to spread rumors. And they began to say it was the truth. They began to say that Najashi has also become a renegade. He has left his own religion. He has become an enemy to our empire. He has become an enemy to our people. And it is said that Najashi, upon hearing of this, that he called for those people. And before calling to them, Najashi, he had wrote on some sort of parchment, or however it was that they would write at that time. And he wrote that, "I believe there is no God but Allah, and Isa ibn Maryam is a messenger of Allah." And then he had placed that piece of parchment within his clothes, next to his heart. Now, my dear Islamic brothers and viewers of Madani Channel, we have today spoken about the second migration to Abyssinia, and we have also learned about this king whose name was Asmuha, but his title was Najashi. My dear Islamic brothers and viewers of Madani Channel, today we have spoken about the migration of Abyssinia, but we do not have enough time to move on to the next topic. Inshallah, from our next episode, we shall be listening to the conversion about two great individuals. I'm not going to tell you the name of those individuals now, but these two individuals brought a revolution within the Muslims of Makkah al-Mukarramah, where previously we had heard how the Muslims had been subjected to torture, how the Muslims had been persecuted. And I mentioned a name, that there was one individual by the name of Khabbab. I mentioned another name of Mus'ab ibn Umair, who had first migrated to Abyssinia. And then the second migration, he did not return to Abyssinia. As a Mus'ab ibn Umair, he was that individual who wore the best of clothes throughout the whole of Makkah. He was famous for possessing, he was from an extremely wealthy family. Both his parents were wealthy. He was famous for possessing the best and the most expensive, the most elegant of clothing amongst all the people of Makkah al-Mukarramah. That his mother and father, they would order clothes for him. They would import clothes specifically for him. This is how special he was to them at that time. And then when he accepted Islam, it was those same parents, that same mother and father who had tortured him, that same mother and father who had beaten him, they had persecuted him, they had tortured him and harmed him, astaghfirullah, so badly. And it is said that there used to be a time when he used to approach people and everybody would look up to him and everybody would turn their glances, their eyes towards him. Why? Because of the beautiful clothes he would wear. And after having accepted Islam, he would wear only one cloth and he would wear ripped clothing. And we shall come to hear later how in the battle of Uhud, when he is martyred, he doesn't even possess one piece of cloth for a kafan, for a shroud. It is said that when a piece of cloth is brought for Hazrat Hamza, that the Prophet ﷺ takes one piece from that and places it over Hazrat Mus'ab ibn Umair. That when he places it on the covering from the feet, then his head would become exposed. When it would cover the head, then the feet would become exposed. For this reason, the Prophet ﷺ had to place some sort of plants to cover his feet. And Islam, this is what the Muslims had given for the sake of the religion, to protect the religion, to honor the religion. So what are we doing today? For those of us that are not practicing, for those of us that are not refraining from sins, for those of us that are yet drinking alcohol, those that yet take drugs, those that yet perform sins, those that commit sins, my dear Islamic brothers, please leave these sins. For those who do not pray their salah, please pray your salah. Unfortunately, time has got the better of us. We must leave it here for now. But inshallah, in the next episode, we shall bring you more about the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. For now, continue to recite durood upon the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam.
Mawla ya salli wa sallim da'iman abadan. Mawla ya salli wa sallim da'iman abadan ala habibika khairil.